And it's in that vital union through the Holy Spirit. We have vital union with Jesus, our Savior, who's speaking to us.
Your life in God is a growth process. Join Gloria and Kelly Copeland as they share how sitting at Jesus' feet will strip off every weight of sin that tries to overcome you. Next on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly and I are glad you're here today. We're going to have some good words, so don't go away. What are you going to start with, Kelly?
Well, you know, yesterday we were talking about, we just got really focused on Jesus, our Savior, and the high price He bought to see some fruit. Yeah. The high price He bought to be able to have us be containers of Him. Mm. There was just a few scriptures I wanted to, like, just bring up to you. Because, Mom, these things that we want to do, we want to have the fruit of the Spirit working in our lives, but we get too focused on making that our job. The fruit of the Spirit is not our job to produce. The fruit of the Spirit is our job to choose, or our job to walk so much in what Jesus is in us that that's what's come out. So we really cultivate our life with Him, and that's the fruit of it. And so I just want to read a couple of scriptures just to bring that home to us about whose job this really is to perfect us so that we can get in it with Him. You know, we have to get in this with Jesus and allow Him to be big in us. So I just want to just read a couple of those. It says in Ephesians 4:30, the Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. And actually, that in that actual chapter talks about, you know, don't do this, do this, do this, do this. And it's got a lot of things that we need to be seeing in our lives. But he also says, the Holy Spirit has sealed you in Jesus. And as these things come about in your life, we are protected and held in Jesus as we grow in our faith, as we grow in the fruit of the Spirit, as we grow in the produce of what His Spirit inside of us is doing in our lives. But, you know, that's where He says, be passionate, but don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Don't let anger control you. Don't let it be fuel for revenge. Don't be the don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. Guard your speech. Don't let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth. Well, you may think, well, man, ugly and hateful words came from my mouth this morning. Well, I understand. I've had ugly and hateful words come out of my mouth. But you know what? As we focus on Him inside, you find that the fruit of that is less ugly words coming from your mouth. And thank God He holds us in Jesus and protects us and helps us every day as we're growing in these things, because it is a growth process. It's not a sudden thing that all of a sudden you're supposed to be perfect. It's a growth process. And it's in our oneness with Jesus that we actually grow. And as we set our sights on Him and set our attention on Him, lo and behold, we become like Him. In the Word, it talks about, you know, that we are changed into His image as we look on Him. And as the veil is removed, we turn to Him. So anyway, it says here in Philippians 3, and I'm going to move through these quickly, and we've read this one over and over, but it's just important to read. In Philippians 3 and verse 21, it says, by his matchless power, not your matchless power, he continually subdues all that is within us to himself. And of course, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit as a result. And it says, you know, if you fulfill, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the answer to not fulfilling the lust of the flesh is not to try to beat down your flesh with your flesh.
Yeah.
That doesn't even really work. It says, just walk in the Spirit. Walk in what's inside you, and you won't be fulfilling or satisfying or living in the lust of your flesh or the works of the flesh. Yesterday, it was so wonderful. If you know somebody that doesn't know Jesus, man, send them yesterday's broadcast, because I think Jesus really showed up with His presence and His sweetness and His glory and how much He loves us. So, really, John 15 is a proof of His desire for us. Now, I want to set this up a little bit, Mom, in John 15. You need to realize that in the book of John, I love the book of John because it's so filled with red words. It's so filled with what he has to say. A couple of weeks ago, I was dealing with something that was bothering me. It wasn't a huge thing, but it was just bothering me. It was like just nagging me. And I was frustrated by it, and I had to go speak the next day so early. So I was like, I need to study. And I'd studied, but I really am like, but I'm bothered by this thing, and Lord, I need your help with this thing. And you know what he said? He goes, get at my feet. And we talked about Mary getting at the feet of Jesus. And you think, well, how can I get at his feet? He's not here. Yes, he is. He's right here. But he just said that to me, get at my feet. And I had this thought, it's time for bed. And so I, instead of struggling with, you know, I got to study more, I got to do this more, I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow, he said, get at my feet. Because see, I'm trying to be Martha, and I'm trying to serve out of my doing. But my heart was anxious. One about, yes, you have to get in the Word when you preach, but my heart was anxious. And so he said, get at my feet. And I had this thought that I know was from him. Play the book of John. Just go to bed, play the book of John on my phone. I got my phone, put on the Bible app, and just let the words play. Mom, he talked to me all night long. He visited me all night long. And I went to bed. It was kind of late, and I had to get up really early. I woke up so fresh. All night, and once I woke up enough to type something he said. I actually said that then at the message that I had to minister. But all night long, I would wake up, just not wake up totally, but I'd wake up enough to go, oh, that's so good. I don't even remember in my mind everything he said to me.
Yeah.
But as the Word was reading, it wasn't just what the Word was saying. He was talking to me. He was giving me life. I woke up free, non-worried, non-caring, and to this day, I don't care about that thing I was so stressed about.
Praise God.
It's just gone. The care of it, the concern about who's doing what. I don't know, Mom. It's hard to describe what that night was like.
You rolled the care during the night.
But he took it. Like, I just said, okay, I'm going to get at your feet. And he just spoke to me literally all night long. And I didn't wake up tired. I woke up great and refreshed. There was a powerful word in that service I had to do. Anyway, and it's continued to speak to me. So I've done it since, just go to bed at night. But I'm not putting the book of John or whatever you put on. I'm not doing it to read the Bible. I've done that, not that that's wrong, but I've done that with a heart to sit at the feet of His Word. So beginning to picture these words that are spoken in this Bible, this, my goodness, what a precious thing we have here. These are His words to me. This is His feeding me. This is me sitting at His feet. You can read the Word as a Martha. You can read the Word as a Mary. And as we read this Word as a Mary to sit at His feet, then we gain that thing He told Martha that Mary was after, that one thing that was to her advantage, the Amplified said, and it wouldn't be taken away from her.
Praise God.
And I don't know, it was such a powerful thing. Well, this to me describes, this where we're going to go in John 15, really describes really what we've been talking about. So I'm reading again out of the Passion Translation, and it's really good in the New Living. It's something we've heard, but I think within all of these things that we've been talking about, letting the fruit of the Spirit come out by your oneness with Him, I think it'll mean something deeper. So John 15, verse 1. I don't think you have this, the book of John one. It's orange when you get home. You have it at home.
Okay.
I was setting this up for you before I read that. So here Jesus is with His disciples. They're about to walk into the hardest time that they've walked in with Him so far, where He's preparing them for what they're about to walk through. He's preparing them for His physical presence to not be there anymore. I mean, they've gotten used to walking with His physical presence. Mm-hmm. So imagine, especially Peter, I mean, Jesus was all about correcting Peter. Peter got corrected a lot, often and publicly. But you know what? The result in Peter, and maybe we can talk about this some later, Jesus did with Peter very visibly in the Word what I'm talking about to you, that communing and being one in His presence, He will do that with you. And maybe you're like, I don't know if I want Jesus to say, get behind me, Satan. But you do want Jesus to correct you. You do want Him to lead you and help you and correct the things that you need to adjust. You know, many times we might prefer the word adjustment. That's fine. Jesus, adjust me. You go to a chiropractor for Him to adjust your back. Jesus, adjust me. Get things in line. And that's what correction is. Well, He's preparing His disciples. And so for chapters here, starting with John 14, 13 really, 14, 15, 16, 17, He's preparing them for what's coming. And it's going to be a change, but He's telling them, this is going to be a good change. You're going to like it. And you know, I love too, Mom, that He continually told them, I'm not abandoning you. You know, many Christians and in many ways, all Christians to a degree have lived their life as though He had abandoned them. Because when a bad word comes, or you have a sickness, or somebody, you know, gets a diagnosis of cancer, or a marriage falls apart, or some of these things, and people feel like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Or there's something wrong in your family, your kids. Oh, what am I going to do? And you know God will help you. You know to get on the Word, but you still feel that. That's devastating. That's a feeling of being abandoned. But He hadn't abandoned us. Mm-hmm. But He told them,
I'll never leave you or forsake you.
And over, and He said, I'm not leaving you. I'm sending a comforter. I'm not leaving you. I'm sending... Now, this is a new deal. You have to remember, you can't judge Peter or some of these people too harshly, Mary or Martha. They didn't have Jesus on the inside. They had Him right here on the outside, and they like that. But Jesus is telling them, this is going to be so much greater for you. It's not me here on the outside with you. It's going to be me here on the inside with you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everything that I've done for you, this Holy Spirit is going to do for you. I heard somebody say this, and it's true. Everything you look through here and you saw Jesus do for His disciples, heal, explain, expound, correct, all those things, tell them where to go find your tax money, all of that, the Holy Spirit does for us on the inside. Amen. So Jesus, in these chapters, He says, Jesus took from the Father and He gave it to them. But he says, I'm going to receive from the Father and give it to the Holy Spirit that's going to give it to you. So the Holy Spirit is speaking these things to us that are coming from God. And it's in that vital union through the Holy Spirit. We have vital union with Jesus, our Savior, who's speaking to us. So let's look now at John 15. Because remember what he's telling his disciples, they're going to be doing life in a different kind of way, and he's redirecting them. And in this instruction, he's redirecting them. It's the very way that we have to live, because we live in this day like the disciples did, through the union with Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is what he was talking to them about. So John 15:1 says, I am like a sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the branches that are fruitless. Listen to this, Mom. This is in the Passion Translation. The Greek phrase can also be translated, he takes up. You know, people think about the fruitless are just going to be cut off. And you could read this way, but listen to this. He doesn't want to cut you off. If you remove yourself, then you're removed. That's being cut off. He doesn't cut you off. When you're fruitless, this is what he does for you. And if you allow it to happen, this will correct your fruitless life. The Greek phrase can also be translated, he takes up to himself every fruitless branch. So where it says here, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, this is the way it could be translated. He takes up to himself every fruitless branch. He doesn't remove these branches, but takes them to himself. As the wise and loving farmer, he lifts them up off the ground to enhance their growth. Right. You know, there's a lot of times in our life we feel like, we hit the ground.
Yeah.
We fell down. In our minds, we might feel like we're fruitless, so I'm getting cut off from God. No, you're the only one that can cut you off from God. The Word says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and that He will not leave us. But He said, He knew they were going to fall. He knew they were going to have difficulties in these coming days. So He's like, you know, no matter what has happened in your life or what Satan's thrown at you or somebody else has done in your life or what you've messed up your life on your own, there's not anything that he has not pre-planned the answer for.
Or that he hadn't seen before.
And he hadn't seen it before, and he wasn't tempted like as we were, Hebrews yep. says. That's why he's our perfect leader. Okay, so I got to hurry. So it says, these branches that falls to the ground, have you ever seen a tree, like your peach trees we talked about this week with your grandfather's peach trees? Mm-hmm. Those branches could get so
heavy
mm-hmm. that they fell to the ground. And if left there, you know, the fruit would die touching mm-hmm. the ground. Mm-hmm. But you could prop those up. And this is what he does. He brings these up to himself to enhance their growth. In context, Christ's endless love for his disciples on the last night of his life on earth seems to emphasize God's love even for those who fail. Isn't that good? Yeah. Those who think
Father,
they've disappointed
forgive them.
Him.
They know not what they do.
His concern was for them. Peter's denial didn't bring rejection from Jesus. Jesus didn't reject Peter after his denial. He told him it was going to happen. He said, Peter,
deny me.
He even said when it was time to, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Peter, he said, guys, watch and pray with me. Mm-hmm. And he said, Peter, if you'll watch and pray, the Amplified says, you won't even enter into temptation. Boy, he's trying to help him. He's trying to save him. How many times does the Lord come to us
yes.
in our relationship with him? Mm-hmm. He's working to subdue everything in us to himself. He's working for that fruit to come out of our lives. He was working with Peter. Get thee behind me. You don't have your mind on what is on God's mind. He's correcting them. He's talking to them. He's working with them.
Praying for
He's not mad at them. But the day Peter denied Jesus, many people may not realize this. You have to read all four Gospels to get the full story on what happened when he denied Jesus. But in that, Peter, he denied him three times. Jesus said he would. And then it says Jesus looked at him. But you know what he saw when Jesus looked at him?
Compassion.
Compassion and love, the fruit. Well, Peter ran out from that. That was a tough place. He ran out from that place. But where did he go after that? After he was filled with the Holy Ghost, his whole life took on all the things that Jesus had tried to lead him to. Jesus is going to keep working with you until you get
Lord.
It. Hallelujah. Okay. Hurry, Kelly. Okay, so he cares for the branches and by propping up branches are fruitless. Pruning, or that can be cleansing, it says, every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. Remember, we're talking about our union with Him. So enter into life union with me, for I have entered into life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately.
Yes.
Intimately joined with mine.
Connected.
I am the sprouting vine and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. It's not an effort. It's going to come out of you. But when you live separated from me, you're powerless. If you live separated from me, you'll be discarded like shriveled up branches that are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you step into my life in union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, and Mom, in this footnote, it says this Greek is the Greek word rhema, which refers to the spoken word. So I'm going to put this out to you that he's saying when we live in union with him, those words are spoken from Him. That life is coming directly
Praise
on the
God.
Inside from Him to you. And those words, when you are in union with Him and communion, those words are so much more powerfully spoken to you than even reading them here. I mean, you read them here and they're powerful coming out of you. Then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify
Praise
my Father.
God. I
love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. Let my love nourish your heart.
Praise
Why would
God.
We not spend our time in union and communion with Him?
Amen.
That's where the fruit
That's
comes
awesome.
From.
I like that, Kelly. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. I want you to just keep feeding me with that.
Okay.
Just keep talking to me.
We're
going to
pick it up tomorrow.
Kelly and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.